From our dusty cellars, finding it interesting that A and B refer to the same hole.
A hole and B hole.
Yeah.
What's your C hole?
And you have to be careful asking people if they'd like to see yours or if you can D theirs.
Hey, there.
It's the final countdown. You know, I actually tested that joke on my GF, and now she's my ex. I asked her why. She said, first of all, I never found her G-spot. And second of all, she has the new BF, and his D is enormous. FML, am I right?
Man, that's a good bit.
Yeah,
I was thinking it might be a bit. I'm trying to get one for all 26 letters, and you know what letter doesn't lend itself? H.
H.
You fucking never go like H.
Oh, you can say I got a solution for you.
Okay, go
and
for
then
it.
H from and then
H from steps. Yes, guys. This is why I never worked as a solo act or frankly, a group act. But you know, I always needed people to knock the rough edges off these bits, and then
and more often than not, it was to remind you of steps from of H from steps.
It was. I often forget about them. You know, I think about all the other H's, all the other steps. The H blocks, for example, were
the
big.
H blocks.
Big stain on our country.
Yeah.
You know.
Also a big stain on our country.
Big stain on our country's history. And the Brits are still apologizing for it. Okay. I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week as always. His PCR test came back positive for RTE. It's Gavin Carberry.
Hello.
Also joining us. Protestant vaccine hesitancy has been noted by an attitude survey completed by MRBI recently. Solution is to put it in the scone supply. They can't resist it when it's in scones, those Protestants. That joke might be a little bit funky, but don't worry, we'll work on it. It'll go on the set. Nothing. Also joining us this week, wouldn't you think I would have something for Jack? Continues to holiday in Mosny, Jack Toner.
Oh, I don't know where Mosny is.
Well, Mosny is now a direct provision center, which is the, but it used to be like, a Butlins-esque holiday destination.
Cool.
But now that I think of it, that actually wasn't. Actually isn't your intro. I don't know where your intro's gone. That was in a list of Neil Fitzpatrick jokes, which I don't know if any of you ever read the blurb for the podcast, but ever since we stopped using Neil's music, I used to thank him for the music, for bringing it to me. And then it became obvious that I wasn't using any of his music anymore because I put in my far inferior own music. And I just still wanted to mention him. So I started putting in jokes and I started writing down wrote down a selection of Neil Fitzpatrick jokes, which we can get to right after we get introduced to these beers. Because that's what people listen for.
And also we are approaching the season that we may, you know, have a possibility of a rogue Neil Fitzpatrick appearance on the show. We should get the ball rolling on that.
This podcast has been remote for 2 years. At any point. There is nothing stopping him from coming on, and nothing stopping us from inviting him more frequently.
Good taste. Don't do it too often.
Yeah, yeah. Common courtesy and reason—the only barriers.
Yeah.
You know what, Gav? Never crossed my mind. As I was saying that, I was just like, "Oh well, it's good that we're all in Ireland. We can record this thing remotely."
I have hours of our mixed martial arts podcast just sitting here on my computer that I've never released because Neil is so egregiously bad on it. I'm listening, I'm like, Jack, that's an insightful point you made. And my God, Manus, aren't you clever about this stuff? And then Neil speaks and I'm like, cancel it, forget it. It's not going out. He's terrible.
You can tell from the audio that he's been good looking his whole life. He has whatever the opposite of a face for radio is.
Yeah, exactly. Radio diminishes it. Like everything else is level, and you just hear how boring he is.
Neil Fitzpatrick is the face.
He's got a voice. Yeah, he's got a voice for outdoor advertising or
voice for television or something, whatever the opposite of a voice for radio is. Yeah. I don't know who's brought a beer. I have. This is actually a much better beer than I thought I was probably going to have. I don't know what it was doing in the corner of Shane. This is a Torpedo by Sierra Nevada. Actually, I think I know what it exactly what it's doing in the corner, Shane, because this went out of date on the 6th of June 2021. So
I'm glad you said 2021. That's probably still rank.
I suppose the listeners aren't so used to it because Manus has his background blurring on. And so the way he held up the beer there on his screen, it looked like the sponsors had an issue with it. So to blur out the actual beer he was drinking.
The people at Sierra Nevada probably would have an issue with it if they ever listened to this. So we're going to give this a go. We're going to find out what... I don't think we've reviewed Torpedo on the show before and it's never been fresh. We've always had like... basically none of the hop character remaining in the beer, and this is going to 100% continue that trend.
Tradition,
it's like 7 and a bit%, so I'm hoping that will have protected it from being a year and a half out of date. It's not a year and a half, it's only half a year out of date. This is fine.
How much sunlight does the corner of Shane get?
Oh, quite a bit. It's almost directly under a Velox.
I actually have a small rounded mirror on the far side of the room, so it's never out of it.
It's not the corner of place where you keep your good beers. Like my 200 fathoms isn't over there. That's kept in a temperature controlled environment, otherwise known as my ass. It's controlled.
The temperature is always hot.
It's always hot to trot in there. I'm going to drink that. James, did I see a bottle of Worthington's in your hand?
You did. Worthington's White Shield. It is the India Pale Ale, and the branding kind of makes it seem like the official beer of the alt-right.
I certainly thought I got a Brexit-y vibe off.
It's got a real crusader vibe.
Yeah, it's got a sword and it's got two shields. There's a white shield and a red shield.
Yeah, the crusaders, the crusaders and the Nazis. That's what you want. You ever notice that, like, the people who in certain parts of England anyway, who most like India Pale Ale are the most upset to having lost India as a colony? Real ale, lads! What's the matter, lager boy? Fridge, you might taste something. By golly, we sank that Belgrano. We really did sink it. Defeated the naval and military power of Argentina. Do cry for me, Argentina, they said. I love England.
What a silly place.
That's a bottle conditioned ale, James. Could be interesting.
Yeah. I presume it is. I don't see anything.
I'm fairly sure it is. I got a fierce amount of sediment in one of those one time, but then that might have been my Nigel Farage's cum. I don't know what it looks like. And he does jizz and everything. So we'll find out whether Nigel Farage's cum tastes good or not. But before we get a chance to, what else was on this agenda? These are all just Neil jokes. Neil Fitzpatrick jokes. Spotify Wrapped.
Jack's wrestling adventures.
Jack's terrible idea that this terrible wrestling idea that was, I mean, it's probably great. It's probably great. The kids probably love it, you know. Probably fantastic.
It's the most positive thing you've ever said about my wrestling.
Someone with the mind of a child would like it?
Yes. Actually, that
you
is
you never
more
like wrestling as much as when you're a kid. Like, it's like Santi. It's like you can still appreciate it, but like it's not as good as when you thought it was fucking real, man. You know? I thought Owen Hart wasn't dead for ages because, like, my father made damn sure that I learned very early on that wrestling was fake. But I was so young that I was like, oh, so it's all fake. If it's on wrestling, it's fake. So Owen Hart was dead for years. And I was like, you remember the corporate ministry storyline where Undertaker kept referencing like a higher power that was going to come in and it ended up being Vince. That's where the "it was me, Austin" that's where that meme comes from. I was like, up until the minute it was Vince, I was like, it's going to be Alan. That's who it's going to be.
Oh, wow.
I'm not really dead.
I was in a taxi on the way to this show on Friday, and I was like, oh, what are you on the way to? He's like, oh, I'm going to a wrestling show. And he's like, oh, yeah, is it like, is, and you know, ask that question everybody asks, like, is it the real kind or the fake kind? And I asked them to clarify what reality is, which goes down great every time. I don't think it's quite as cunty away.
How, what a way to tell people you went to Trinity without telling people.
No, it's just like, well, he was like, well, real how, like, it all hurts. And he was like, he's like, ah, so, you know, the guys who've been getting hit with the chairs, but you know, they're fine after it. And I'm like, ah, here's the thing that no one realizes. It's easier to find an idiot willing to get hit with a real chair than it is to find someone smart enough to make a fake one.
I had an infuriating argument with an arsehole who I was playing croquet with, not James. James is lovely. I won't name him, but you all know him. Who was insisting. Yeah, sorry, I'll name him.
Yeah.
He was like insisting that like the chairs were fake. I'm like laughing at me for being so stupid as to think that they were real. Like, you fucking idiot. You blue shirt wanker. You Margaret Thatcher apologist. What the? I'm sorry. A lot of this is going a lot deeper into my dislike for this man. No, he's fine. He's all right. He's all right. But he was calling me
an Manus, arsehole. He doesn't listen. He's not all right. He's not an arsehole.
He's a massive cunt. I know he is because we bumped into him in the street about 6 months ago. We were drinking pints. Yeah. We were like, what a cunt. God, what?
Oh, yeah. Because he's like, he I've never been reminded. Something. And it was like, hey, and he's like, what? Hi, yeah, well, it's Jack Manus and Gavin here. Yeah, you know those people that you definitely know and you're pretending not to for some reason?
While he's like on his own meandering around, he's like,
oh, yeah, like, your context like, he's right now, like his cool friends who he couldn't like let it be known that he knew who we were. I was like, motherfucker, you were a nerd in college. I should be pretending I don't know you.
Oh,
all right, enough okay. Bullying this guy who we've named.
Yeah. I mean, I should probably tape that out. Yeah.
Well, look, you should, Manus, and well done for calling that out.
Yeah, we're for calling that. So we will hear about Jack's wrestling.
That my attempt to impress exclusively you three.
It's funny. There's like in that conversation with like the oh obviously the chairs are fake thing and like Owen Hart's really dead, not really dead, and all that stuff. Where it's like there's like I only thought about this. I injured my knee running this week, and this sort of thing came to my mind. Where you know the way there's a thing a dumb person thinks. Then there's a thing a smart person knows. And then you go one step further to a really smart person who actually knows the thing the dumb person thinks, but for a smarter reason. The chair shots, wrestling's completely real. Then there's the chair shots are completely fake. And then there's, well, no, actually, yeah, it's pre-planned, but they are literally hitting each other with the chairs. I was like, I knew I was about to hurt my knee for ages. I was like, this is sore. I should stop. And like a dumb person who doesn't know about running goes, oh yeah, I'll just stop immediately. And that's why nobody ever starts running, because of course it starts to hurt your knees at first. And the solution is to keep running more, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you run through it. So I was like, I know what this is. This is just the pain you get from your, you know, from doing exercise. And then about like at a certain point in my run, I was like, oh no, oh dear.
I have made a huge mistake.
And like, yeah, the really smart person would have gone, yes, Manus, but sometimes pain is there for your benefit and you should stop doing the thing that's making it hurt and not go, I need to run faster. It works like some highlights from the Neil Fitzpatrick jokes. Doesn't have any social contacts to reduce. Neil Fitzpatrick is a lanky doodle dandy. Neil Fitzpatrick changes his bed sheets annually. Still buys Nuts magazine. Wears ribbed condoms inside out for his pleasure.
Yeah.
Pretends to let his toddler win, but in reality, he's trying his hardest. Peaked in play school. True. Had a pet pig growing up called Squeal Fitzpatrick. Went to get vaccinated and was the biggest prick there.
Okay.
He wears dark clothes so that he can just go ahead and pee himself whenever.
Manus, I love these. Don't get me wrong, I love these.
You don't want any more?
But no, I want loads more. But I would like to just clarify. I think I've heard one joke. The rest of them are just things. Things you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, they mostly are.
Which is fair enough. Which is fair enough. The biggest prick one was a joke.
Yeah, many of them aren't jokes. He self-published three novels about a detective called Neil Fitzpatrick. Like Steve Bruce, you know, remember when he did that?
Yeah.
Gotcha. He has a butterfly knife and a BMX but no brakes. He forgets to open the lid first sometimes. Does covert work for the Navy as a periscope?
Good.
That's good.
Was not allowed sugar as a child. Now he's a bitter adult. Found a way to miss only 90% of the shots he doesn't take. And he washes himself at regular 2-week intervals. Would rather lose €1 every time than put the trolley back properly. I don't know. There's fucking millions of these.
It's like you found a format for like the reverse Chuck Norris joke.
Good observation, Jack. That's exactly what you've done, Manus.
And I'm happy with it.
I've left out weeks where I was like super lazy. It was like, Neil Fitzpatrick, am I right? Yeah. So the ones you've heard were the ones where I wasn't feeling lazy. So there you go. Jack, tell us about your fantastically successful wrestling endeavor.
So, okay, I didn't say it was fantastically successful. I just did something in a wrestling match exclusively because I wanted to tell you guys about it. And no one in wrestling appreciated the joke. So I had a match on Friday. Mm. And the premise of the match is that it was a first date. We did like a whole video package that it was like an intro, like it would be on first dates. No one really knew what the match was going to be. Like, is it a date? Is it a match? It's both. We start the match with like a dinner table set up in the middle of the ring. And we start it as a date and then it turns into a fight.
Can I ask you who brought the table into the ring? Was it D-Von?
Well, D-Von had to get
the table. He has one job.
He only has one job. It's a union position in wrestling now. It's union. D-Von has to get the tables, which is a real inconvenience when there's more than one wrestling show on in the world.
Remember we shouted out at that NXT show, we shouted at Jason Jordan, Jordan, get the cables. he turns around, he's like, hey.
Jason Jordan and Chad Gable. Jordan, get the cable. Ring. That's the
highlight of our life.
That was when we went to wrestling, like WWE shows, absolutely smashed and just talked shit at the kids.
It was fun. We taught those kids, we smartened up some kids or drove them away.
The best part about that is we knew
in any case, we digressed there.
The best part about that,
we knew what it was.
But we found out after the first time that we knew it was a kids' show, so they didn't check your pockets on the way in, so you can bring in as much drink as you
want. They're like, normally you go into something like that, they're like frisking you, but it's like they don't even check, so we're like noggins in every pocket.
Take that point, Debo. That I just don't remember. All right, so we do this show, and then
who is your opponent for this?
A guy called Jay, worker named Danny Cross, current OTT tag team champion. Great lad, great wrestler.
The only way to be a winner and a loser at the same time.
we're thinking about what we're going to lay out for this.
I stole the joke there from Dimitri Martin about Employee of the Month.
so we're laying out this dinner, and what I'm thinking about it in the days ahead, I'm like, you know what, we need to be the only match with real meat.
Yeah, that's what you want.
So what did I only go and do? Cooked a big juicy steak, put it in a lunchbox, brought it down, and then we did a whole thing with steak in the match, and I slapped him with real meat.
Oh, well done. That's the difference. To be honest, to fully embrace the real meat philosophy, you should have got like a pile of Granby burgers.
yeah.
Which is what we use for the real meat sketch.
We're the only sketch show with real meat. That remains to this day. We are the only sketch show with real meat. We're no longer the only show now that Jack has done it in his wrestling
Jack has
show.
Done that. Isn't it? It's kind of like, and I heard Lance Storm make this point today when he was talking about War Games. He just said, yeah, we could be the only car that has square tires. You know, you just be.
Doesn't make it good.
All these damn cars going around with their round tires. We need to sort this out. How did your just dates match go? Apart from with the meat,
genuinely, Manus, it might be the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, a lot of low cards in that deck.
Yeah, no, it went fantastically. I am looking forward to getting the tape back, maybe sometime next week. And it's a match I'm going to try and just put up online for free because I think it was wildly entertaining.
That's important as well, because although a lot of people do pay for your online content a lot, I do think it is important to put that one up for free to really maximize the amount of people who see it. You know?
Well, it will be behind a paywall for the show.
I mean, I know you would get like 100,000 buys for your pay-per-view if you did put it up there. If you charge €1 million per buy, you only need to get one buy. That's pretty big.
Yeah, success. Yeah.
That's true. You've basically cracked the Saudi prince market.
Just need to entertain the Saudi prince. Is someone's microwave?
Someone's buzzing. Yeah. There's like a loose connection or something. It seems to have gone.
Yeah, and you know what? I think this is good audio. I think this is going to work for people. They're going to like
this. The magic of the edit.
The magic of the edit will take all of this out. Oh, yeah, we have so much faith.
I love the way you think that. It's cool. Clearly you don't listen to the show. The stuff.
No, wait. We need to do something that incriminates Manus in some way. Hey, Manus, you remember when you used to run drugs out of Colombia? Now he's got to get rid of it.
God damn it. There's Jack and Jay. There they both are.
I sent the photo of me with the real meat in my mouth post-slap.
Oh, that's what that is. I thought it was a microphone for a second.
No, that is a steak.
Yeah.
That is half a day old steak right there. And I did it for you guys. And you know who didn't understand it? Anytime I would walk around the dressing room before the show, I'd be like, and the thing is, you know, we're going to be the only match at Real Meat.
Oh yeah, but the point is that no one should get it.
No one got it, and every time I was like, "Yeah."
I think the general roster of the wrestlers involved in that show, the chances are someone there is dumb enough to think that's a real thing, and then start trying to be the other show with real meat.
Oh, for sure.
In 18 months, I'm gonna see some fucking trainee be like, "Oh yeah, I want to do a real meat match." Jay Money.
At a certain point, once something has been done, people stop really thinking about whether it worked or not and just go, oh yeah, remember when they did that? Let's bring that back. And you would see it in like TNA wrestling, when like they would start doing stuff that like WCW had done, but like contributed to that company dying. And then but then like someone like will have watched that and gone like, oh yeah, remember when they did Judy Bagwell on a pole? Well, we should do the same thing again. Remember that was on television? So like stuff gets recycled whether it worked or not. So I think it could work. And Jack, I'm reminded of a joke in Family Guy. And I know we're often reminded of Family Guy because we're all big fans here.
I am actually a big fan of Family Guy.
I watch Family Guy.
I started rewatching it. You know what? A lot of it holds up.
Of course it does. Perfect. Yeah. It and Jordan Peterson, they're all perfect. but there's a joke when they win the lottery, and like one of the fancy things that they do is Peter Griffin takes they're at a restaurant and he goes, what about that lobster that I paid you to give a helicopter tour of Quahog to? And the pilot's up there with a lobster on a plate and he's like pointing out stuff to the lobster going, and over there is where you'll find. And then he goes, wait a minute, why did I do this? Why didn't I just say I did it? So my point, Jack, is if the only point of doing the real meat thing was to tell us about it, why did you do it? Why didn't you just say you did it?
Because
the one time you follow through on something, you absolutely did not need to.
But you know, He did point out, like, why didn't we ever think to cook the burgers? Why was it important that they be raw?
Sorry. That is a good point.
As bad as a cooked burger. As a cooked burger would have been, like, I mean, the raw ones.
I think with a cooked burger, you're operating at 95% funniness.
We did need to be at 100%. We did, yeah.
Now, I wanted it to look good, but I also didn't want to cook it too much because I was really going for that real meat sound. And I got it. And I really got it. Got a great reaction off the just like no holding back, just absolutely lamping this steak across poor Jay's face.
You can fairly lamp someone safely enough with a cooked bit of meat.
Yeah.
He
then took the plate out of my hand that previously stored the meat and smashed it over my head. So I wasn't holding back on the meat slap.
You should have, though. You know, not let him do that, though.
Should have found some way to stop him.
Spotify, did you win the match, Jack?
I did win the match. You know, I have a title shot for a hardcore belt. Who would have ever fucking thought that was where I'd find my success?
Hardcore wrestling. Oh, yeah, that's where I figured you would be, That's about the level I thought you'd get to.
He's not good enough.
Late career road dog. Yeah, I could have had you there. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, real Joey Janela shit.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you're bigger than he is, though, I think.
Physically?
He's super small. He's a really little guy.
He's pretty small.
Well, because he was small in AEW, where they're all pretty small. Mm. Like, you know, so anyway. You've got a much better figure than Joey Janela as well, so fair play to you.
Yes, but we do go to the gym the same amount. He just drinks slightly
more. He just drinks a lot more White Claw. And you think, like, yeah, White Claw is, like, pretty good for your... like good calorically, but like there's still an amount of White Claw that's bad for you.
And the answer is
too little.
He didn't have enough White Claw. That was the problem. You got to go all in with that.
Well,
that's fantastic that you won your match. You're going to be the hardcore champion pretty soon, I would say.
Obviously, don't spoil it, but do you know if you're going to win yet? Have you been told?
Do I know? Even if the plan, like, you think I'm bad for plan wasing? The world of wrestling is, you can have three people showing up to a show all thinking they're winning the same match.
If the writers, and I'm probably using that term loosely, if the writers don't feel like doing it, they could just say on the night, like, guys, just fight for real. And see who wins.
Just go for us.
Yeah.
See who does the best off the top rope suplex.
speaking of why did I do it?
Fighting, so.
Why did I do it? Why didn't I just say I did it? I don't think it was Don Owens himself, but one of the local promoters in Portland Wrestling used to pay the wrestlers more if they would shoot in the ring, because he was just a mark for that stuff, and like real quickly they were like, well, let's just pretend to, and we'll get the extra
what does shoot mean?
Oh, like have an actual contest
in
the ring as opposed to a work, which is not really a contest. You're like, oh, I'll pay $50 extra if you guys shoot on each other, and they'd be like, absolutely no problem, and then they would just fake it.
I think maybe he's the smartest guy in the world, because he was like, I'll pay you extra if you make it look fucking real for once.
Hey,
I mean, nothing wrong with it. So good luck to Jack in his hardcore title match. We're sure he'll win. It's funny, rugby isn't fake, but I did always know in advance whether I was going to win or not in a game.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That's pretty much always know. I did a lot of jobs.
Yeah, I'd love to see someone who running a like league in some other sport decide that actually they need to go the wrestling route and try and start faking it. Like, how would like try and fake a rugby match? Just see how that goes.
It would, imagine how entertaining all sport would be if all sport just went that way. Like, rugby, I think, is quite entertaining at the moment, but there are people who would obviously disagree with me. But imagine if they were, like, out the back passes all the time, like, people flipping over each other to get to the try line. Like, how fucking good would that be?
Oh, yeah. You probably couldn't fake it, but you absolutely could, like, you could gimmick it. Like, you could do, like, the,
probably,
like,
because
but,
they
but keep, Saracens in the
because they keep bringing out popular characters, you probably still have Brian O'Driscoll showing up for the last 5 minutes of every Ireland match with his own
Yeah. Oh, my God, he's making us way to the pitch.
Waddling his way in there. 15 concussions deep.
Like, would football just turn into Shaolin soccer?
Oh, no, football would turn into goal 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, I'd watch that 3 times.
I'll tell you that franchise went a certain way. And he started off at, like, I am going to the Titans of Newcastle and then to Real Madrid. You had to love goal.
It's the end of the year.
It's the end of the year.
Which means that Christmas does in fact come early. It comes in the first week of December and it comes in the form of Spotify Wrapped.
Let me tell you, coming early, that's for the kids. They'd be delighted if Christmas came early, and you're more likely to have a kid if you come early, but ultimately it's a big pain in the arse for your partner.
Is that
wait, it comes out the arse?
Oh yeah, it comes out the arse.
Spotify Wrapped comes, and I think this is, we normally view Spotify Wrapped from the listener perspective, but this year we got the opportunity to view it from the creator perspective,
the artist perspective, if you will, Gavin.
The artist perspective, yeah. Us, Dua Lipa, Don Henley, are all Prince. We're all looking at our Spotify Wrapped come December 1st from an artist perspective. All of us are the same in that way.
Yeah,
Lipa's not welcome on the show. Prince is dead. Henley can come on if he wants. If we're listing people, you know.
I mean, Henley is going to be in town next year, so let's just start. Let's send that tweet now and see what happens.
I'd say he'd be down with it. I think this would suit Don Henley. You know, famously chill dude, Don Henley. Yeah, this is a great idea. You know.
So does anyone have what we were told from Spotify handy?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh,
I think we got 6 slides. On January the 7th, we released our first episode of the year, which was episode 257, Delicious Milk.
Delicious Milk. That sounds like one of ours, all right.
Yeah, I remember it fondly. I remember we just talked about some delicious milk.
Actually, I got it up on the shall I read out the episode description, see if it rings a bell?
Oh, those well-thought-out episode descriptions. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Are we still thanking Neil Fitzpatrick at this point?
Episode 257. New Year's brags, Korean beverage safety, and milky soda pop. It's the final countdown. Neil Fitzpatrick is wary of overhead power lines. Thanks to Sentinel Audio for giving us a home.
Because of his long neck, he would be wary.
He would be wary of that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was when I was drinking the the Chupa Chup soda that was made like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you did a big a load of weird soda reviews.
Yeah.
Our next Spotify Wrapped was your show made some new friends in new places, which generously makes plural. You got your first streams in the following countries: Finland.
Oh yeah!
Woo! Thank you, Finnish Christo Mikkonen.
Magnus for Magnuson. Wasn't he a famous strongman from Finland? Obviously from Iceland. Oh no, they're all called. They're all called like Dave, aren't they, in Iceland? So it probably wasn't him.
Are they?
No.
They're all called Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Famously
Iceland.
Dave across the board.
Iceland make it easy for mum, if you remember correctly. And Kerry Katona lives there, as far as I know. Although that
that she does.
It's the cool temperature keeps her young, you know, near all the freezer aisles.
Has anyone checked on Kerry Katona?
I've checked on her a while ago. You know, she's fine. She's grand.
Good.
Our next one, we had some impressive growth this year. Our streams are up 176%.
Woo! From an incredibly high base, I assume.
Yeah, I assume. That's the only way you can get such a high percentage is if you start high and then go up even more.
Yeah, yeah.
hours of podcast went up 132%.
That just means we've had podcasts.
Yeah, maybe it means hours played.
But it would
notably also lower than streams, so people are giving up halfway through this shit.
When did we go on to Spotify? Like reasonably late. Like yeah. I think it was 2020 we went on. So I think our hour streamed might have gone up.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
Listeners up 53%. Not bad. Yeah, followers up 18%.
All right. So a lot of listeners aren't followers. Interesting.
A lot of one and dones.
James,
do we know what our followers are?
On Spotify.
On Spotify. I imagine it's low.
I can get it up here.
Right. Oh, way to brag.
That must be good for you. Yeah. I personally cannot.
You may have noticed I sort of slowed down as I was saying that because it was like, yeah, I realized what I've just done to myself.
Yeah.
The more listeners than followers thing would stand up with data that we actually have from other places as well, where like our people will check it out but then absolutely not subscribe.
And that does actually make a lot of sense when you consider the content.
About correlation and causation, it's like it doesn't always mean that, but if you've sort of made an observation and a hypothesis beforehand and then you see the correlation in them. Why would you like for James to come up with that? You'll never guess what my favorite artist was.
The Eagles.
Yes, it was the Eagles.
Yes.
Was it actually the Eagles, Manus?
Oh yeah. And would you guess who, while not my favorite artist, who I was in the top like multiple zeros 5% of listeners to in the world?
Was it also the Eagles?
No, it wasn't. No, think about like, no, they weren't like even close to my favorite artists on Spotify, but I had listened to them more than almost anyone. You could surely figure this out.
Dead Cat Bands.
Who do I have a soft spot for that pretty much no one but? Who is it that no one listens to anymore? Do I have a soft spot for? Did we pretty much dedicate a whole episode to once?
You and me, baby, ain't nothing.
The Bloodhound Gang.
It was a goddamn Bloodhound Gang.
Excellent.
That's it. That's pretty much the most person who's ever listened to Bloodhound Gang.
That is excellent.
Yeah, a lot of, and like it's. I do listen to more than you would think of Bloodhound Gang, which is to say any.
Some of it was for research, and then some of it was just for Manta.
Some that was just for me. For you and me. Because, baby, we ain't nothing but mammals. So let's do it. That song should be on the Leaving Cert. That song should be on the Leaving Cert. Because unless you consider sex a curse word, they don't curse in it once, but it's filthy. It's like a perfect example. You remember that one poem that's on the Leaving Cert? It's called like The Flea or something, and like the teacher's like losing their shit because like it's about sex, but he never says it.
Oh yeah, is it John Donne? Is that?
I think it's John Donne. Yeah. And like, the teachers all come their pants over it. The students all go like, "Ooh, very naughty without being naughty, isn't this wonderful?" Bad touch, fucking. Dicks on the flea, let me tell you.
Man,
that's the end of your essay.
English teacher. Yeah. Let me tell you something, kids. Bad touch. Dicks on the flea.
Sweat, baby. Sex is a Texas drought. And can you do the kind of things that only Prince can sing about? Okay, James is telling us in text form how many listeners on Spotify.
I just thought I should leave it up to the group rather we share this information with people.
Wait,
The first one is unique listeners.
Yeah,
unique, and the second one is followers.
Yes.
which considering Spotify is not our main thing. It's like,
oh no, that's way more than I thought it would be. There's 500 listeners and like 39 followers. And yeah, given that like we don't plug Spotify at all, that's not too bad. I thought that'd be way worse. Yeah. Like, most podcasts should be ashamed of that, but I thought that was going to be worse.
So to all 39 of you, thank you very much for strapping in. And there is a gift basket coming your way.
Take that, Joe Rogan. Take that, Joe Rogan experience. I wouldn't take your listeners. They're all shit.
Yeah.
We've got a higher quality listener.
Ours are discerning.
Discerning. Very discerning.
Whatever happened to that one guy? Thomas, if you're still listening, you remember that guy he used to email us? He was the only one who ever did. I always liked hearing from him. And you know, I haven't heard from him in about a year. I think his name was Thomas or Tomas or something. And I don't mean Howard Helen, because I do tire of hearing. I do tire of hearing from him.
Yeah.
If you're listening, pal, drop us an email. Explain why it was all, you know, it's all a misunderstanding, and you're actually really sound. I'll never believe
there, And I think what if
there's a few more stats as well?
Yeah, yes. More stats. Why not?
Okay. Our most popular episode of the year was episode 266, called the Aidan Gillen Trough. Oh, don't know if anyone remembers what that was about.
Oh yeah,
sounds good. It's Aidan Gillen remember based.
I think it was the op trough. Peak Meany and the Gillen Trough, because Meany has a lot of peaks and Gillen has a lot of shit in his deck.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out Trough Meany. Yeah, that's true. Now, the fact is, none of the post-COVID episodes would crack the top episodes of all time list, because like our listeners have gone down since COVID, I'm fairly sure.
Yeah.
But Spotify, I think we only went on it quite recently. So, like we said.
Yeah. Does anyone want
to... Look, we used to consistently be in the top... the top 30 on iTunes for about the first 100 or so episodes.
We never
cracked that anymore.
James, you
does anyone want to take a guess at our sort of gender split for
95% if we're lucky 95%.
Manus 95, Gavin was 99, Jack.
No. Actually, yeah, I'm going to go 98.
80. Optimistic, Jack. It's 97%.
97!
I'll take it.
Like,
97% male.
All right. And we still have
guys, now there's no bitches in the room, we can finally talk for real.
We still have that very odd age split. Where?
So you don't know where you all be cheating on your women? Well, it's not John and Mary from Sligo. It's probably our age. It's like, whatever. Like, you know,
well, it's like 30.
Zero to 17 is us. 25% of our listeners are under 18.
Wow.
Then,
lol.
But then, and then 47% of our listeners are 23 to 27. And in between, that 18 to 22 bracket is less than 1%.
So we're doing terrible college numbers, but we're really forming the youth and proving a transition into adulthood.
Yeah,
we are. We're like one of those creepy older guys who dates a woman who's too young for him, but not illegal, you know?
Yeah.
Helping the transition into adulthood and helping her learn about mistakes you shouldn't make. You know, that kind of thing. That's kind of what we do. It's funny that you mentioned like the under 18s. Like when I was at my absolute best, I was a middling comic. Frankly, I was low to middling at the best. I was a smash hit with like 15-year-old children. Like they could not get enough of Manus. Like anytime I ever had an opportunity to perform for basically children, they were like, oh, this guy is so cool. They loved it. The biggest reaction I ever got was like a gig for access program students who were still in school. Like they lost their shit. Like, there was like 200 of them in a lecture theater. I was like, oh man, he's singing about a pedophile. That's hilarious. You're the penis one again, man. It's, yeah.
You should have, like, I mean, a lot of people cater to that demographic and make a lot of fucking money, Manus. I mean, what happens?
Well, because I was basically doing live shows. It's pretty hard to, like, legally cater to that demographic doing that. If, like, yeah. YouTube had been bigger or, like, you know, that sort of stuff.
Then yeah. You could have been a TikTok sensation.
I probably would have been a TikTok sensation and dead by now. Like, anytime I lament that I didn't have any success and, like, I'm doing a really boring job, I do have to remember that if at, like, 25 I'd been a big deal, I would be dead now, for sure. Oh, no, what happened to Manus? I don't know, somehow all that money and fame went to his head and he died of a cocaine overdose. I don't know how we could have seen that coming.
He was taking a lot of cocaine before he was famous.
He barely survived his 20s anyway. Like, what do you think? Better drugs and more of that would have happened. Like, you know.
Okay. You can decide for yourself. Any more stats for us, James?
Oh, they're better.
So, yeah, they have the artists they're listening to. This is your podcast listeners have streamed the following artists the most in the last 28 days.
Okay, let's get. Okay, we all Bloodhound want the Gang. Eagles. We all want the Eagles.
We want it to be Eagles. There. It's probably Bloodhound Gang.
I think it's okay. Let's go genre even. Do we think that there's going to be like a lot of like fans of like Irish stuff? Like, is there going to be like a fucking Kojak on that list or something?
I think it's going to be dad rock. I think the Foo Fighters, they're not quite dad rock. They're close, like, but they're close.
They're very close.
Because who would like us? Only people who like that basic stuff. Yeah, I would think.
Okay, I'll go in reverse order.
I bet it's not Lizzo.
No one has guessed any.
Are we going genre or artist?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John.
I actually think we have a strong Metallica.
Oh, yes, probably Metallica, yeah.
Not top five.
Brian Eno.
Velvet Revolver.
Give us a hint, James.
Are we even in the genre? Like, is that even?
Would we know any of these artists?
Yes. I know four of them. Four of them are pretty well known. One of them I'm not familiar with, but that could be meaningless. They could be very famous.
Okay, James knows music. Them. So Queen, Prince, no. Royals. Royal Blood.
Lord.
The Who. Lords.
I think one of them we definitely would have discussed on the show a bit. The number one we'd have discussed on the show.
Five.
They're not a boy band, they're more rock. Don't know if you'd go fully rock, but a bit more.
The Darkness.
I would be so proud if it was The Darkness.
It's not The Darkness.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I will reveal number five. It's Rage Against the Machine.
Okay. Oh, fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
Okay, so a lot of people who hang out at Doyle's at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Number four is rap rather than rock.
Kanye.
Nope.
Will Smith. He doesn't have to cuss in his raps to sell records, but I do. So fuck him and fuck you too. No.
Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
That's the reason.
Number three is sort of 90s rock.
90s Blink 182.
That's number one.
Oh! Awesome.
Number three is more UK based 90s.
Blur. Oasis.
Oasis.
Yeah.
So I guess we know which side of the Britpop wars our listeners fall on.
Wow.
Number two is what, like, I've never heard of before, but that could just be me being sheltered and unaware of music. But I got Townes Van Zandt.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Townes Van Zandt. He's like the bohemians of musicians. Like, a lot of people will like want to say they really like Townes. Townes Van Zandt would have been like he's every musician of a certain age's inspiration.
Would you call him a musician's musician?
Yes. He died young.
Country music, kind of.
Kind of. Yeah, he wrote Pancho and Lefty, I think
he did. Him.
He's much covered. And I don't know whether any of the people in music who are called Van Zandt are actually called that, or they just took his name. Like
Steve Van Zandt.
I don't know. His little Steven, or I think some of the not Limp Bizkit, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Weren't some of the Lynyrd Skynyrds, weren't they Van Zandt as well? I don't know, were they anything to do with him, or were they just like taking a name or whatever? It would be very on brand for Skynyrd to just have been really into Townes Van Zandt. Waiting Round to Die, that was one of his songs. Townes Van Zandt, that's
an admirable one. Yeah. That's like having fucking Warren Zevon or something on the list, you know?
Yeah. If it'd just be one guy listening to Werewolves of London and nothing else.
Yeah, he only listens to Werewolves of London, Sweet Home Alabama, and The Kid Rock all summer long. The same song three times, and they're all fucking class.
But All Summer Long is fantastic because, like, he didn't... Kid Rock, you just stole from a perfectly good song. And he said, correction, two perfectly good songs. Sweet Home Alabama.
Awesome along. I went down a bit of a Kid Rock rabbit hole. We can save it for next week, but he's back.
Oh, good.
Excellent. That's something we'll definitely cover next week.
We'll come right back to it. And can I ask you, dear listener, to ask yourself, you don't have to answer it to me, although if you want to tweet at us, I do get lonely. What way do you think Kid Rock feels about the vaccine? I bet I know.
You should listen to his newest song, Manus. It is kind
of
I'm just gonna get into it because it's actually not that deep or complicated, but it's amazing. So the song is actually like it's not a cover, it's a collab of a song called Don't Tell Me How to Live with a band called Monster Truck. He basically like takes the riff from this Monster Truck song, uses a line from the chorus, and then just raps over the whole thing.
He learned how to pronounce myocarditis this year for sure.
the hook is nobody's gonna tell me how to live.
I can get on board with this Kid Rock guy because the vaccine is poison. It's poison.
Here's where it gets hilarious. First of all, the end of the song, it's all done on like fairly cheap green screen mixed in with like, you know, just general Southern shit. But the end, it goes full on incredible. And the final visual, it gets increasingly more insane until eventually he's riding a rocket ship. That's just an enormous rocket middle finger that he is hooked around with a gun in one hand and a bottle of whiskey in the other, riding his own middle finger into the sky while the chorus goes like, so like an eagle.
This is where James's class and people got the gun ownership thing wrong, because they just have guns and are responsible about it. And I think you're missing out on a lot of stuff. You know, like, for example, you could be riding a rocket powered middle finger up into the sky while you fire off a few rounds. But you don't do that, do you?
You don't do it.
Saps.
Yeah, because too many people told you how to live.
Wait, James, just to be clear, have you ever done that?
Not yet.
Let me shoot his gun when I'd had like five beers. He's a complete sissy. I mean, you can't have less than three, you won't be steady. You know what I mean? Kid Rock, right? Okay,
Before I move on from it, because I just got to touch on Monster Truck real quick. I was like, the riff is actually pretty fucking good. I enjoy a bit of outlaw country. So I was like, let me just see what this fucking Monster Truck guys are like. It must be a big day for them. And I get to listen to some of their shit, and it's pretty good. And then there's this one song which I'm like, this could really read either way. It's called When Love Becomes Law. And I was like,
oh no, I know what that's about.
You think you do. It is a collaboration they did with Blackstone Cherry, and all of the proceeds of it went to gay and Black Lives Matter charities.
Okay, fine. That doesn't entirely surprise me.
What? I was like,
Law.
I was like, if I hear...
Doesn't that sound like the song of a guy who accidentally got the age of consent wrong in whatever state he was in at the time?
Yeah, or like we shouldn't legislate for gay people in any way. Like, I was listening to the lyrics. And I'm like, I could see this as an argument in either direction, but like, I see it as like a pro-gay thing. And I was like, but maybe that's just my bias. And
Kid
then I did like
Kid Rock's pro gay. He absolutely is, because he figures more women for him. That's what his theory is. I've spoken to him about them
entirely, forgetting that women can also, in fact, be gay.
No. They just haven't met Kid Rock. That's the difference.
His long, luxurious, luxurious mullet.
We talked about this before. How like the kind of authenticity thing in country or in rap is kind of nonsense, and can even drift towards being sort of racist, because we sort of expect that you have to be sort of poor and thuggish in order to exist in that world, and that's kind of nonsense. And a lot of the criticism of Kid Rock fall down at that but am I right in saying he's full on not from the South? Like, isn't he from like Michigan,
he's from Detroit,
or something?
From Detroit, but he's proudly from Detroit. He's
Detroit, which is
country music. Eminem. Yeah, he basically, his songs are like one third country music, one third aesthetics, and one third him yelling the word Detroit.
Like, I will sit here and, if not defend, at least understand someone from Mississippi is just darn proud of their Confederate flag and just isn't going to change. Like, I don't get it myself, but like, whatever. Kid Rock is from Michigan. All right. So I
which
better
was
not
basically
be one
Canada.
He cannot be like, well, I'm just a good old boy from south of the Mason-Dixon line. No, kid. No, sir. Even if I Shelby Footclaw's grandfather in that flag for others, you aren't getting it, pal. No, sir. Yeah, yeah. You can have literally have a maple leaf flag or something. That's like, the extent of it.
Sorry. One sec. I've also got to roll it back. So, sorry, the way I brought it around is that I was listening to that fucking original Kid Rock song and I was thinking exactly what you're thinking. It's like, maybe he's not into this whole vaccine shit. And then I listen to this fucking Monster Truck guys, and it seems like they're kind of fucking progressive ass, like outlaw country people. I was like, maybe Kid Rock is. Kid Rock is quite pro-vaccine.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Then what's the song about?
It's just talking about fucking freedom like they used to before there was a specific additional reason to talk about freedom. It was more like, right, I'm going to keep drinking. In addition,
I'm genuinely surprised. I'm unhappy, obviously. I mean, if Kid Rock wants to go around being wrong his whole life, that's fine, you know. Singing "Sweet Home," vaccinate ya all summer long. I mean, it'll work, you know. Jab your arm, also. That's how that would work. Yeah, that's how you would sing that. Bar with the bar, jam with your bar arm. With I don't bang, know. Bang, something. Yeah. Diggy, diggy, diggy. It works. He's a great artist, and we're big fans.
Here's a direct quote for you, mostly.
Our number one.
Oh, sorry. Before you shit for brains, bloggers, and media trolls run your meds, many of my band, like me, have been vaccinated.
That sounds like the bare minimum of pro-vax, though. That's like...
Well, he did say it in the context of canceling a show because several of his band got COVID.
Yeah, you can... Look, I can attest to the fact that you can get it even if you are vaccinated. And even if you up your dose of vaccine every weekend in the toilets, you know, with random strangers putting bits of vaccine on the end of them. Did I say vaccine? Because I'm not vaccinated, but I do take a lot of cocaine. So I don't know what way.
But that burns the COVID on the way in.
It burns the COVID. How could it get into your nose?
Airborne.
Exactly.
You know, it's good for you. Okay. So Kid Rock has been rescued. Blink-182 are our favorite band now. Tom DeLonge. Yes. He's met the aliens. You know, all their best songs are the ones where all their best songs are the ones where Tom DeLonge isn't the main singer on it with his horrible whiny D4 voice. All the small things. on and on. No, Tom, no, you'd be a background singer. You'd be a background singer. And that is why Stay Together for the Kids is shit. And What's My Age Again, great song, you know.
Yeah.
The other guy, Hoppus, Mark Hoppus, who also has a craft beer company called
Mark Hoppus.
Mark Hoppus, interestingly enough. All right. What an episode.
All right.
What a speaking great of beer. What a great audience. Yeah, speaking of beer.
Well, what a great audience.
Oh, it's in the South Park. We can talk about it next week.
I haven't, but I'll watch. Okay, that's our homework. Watch the new South Park. Watch the, it's not a special. It's something else.
It's a made-for-TV movie.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good. Or it's fun. I don't know if it's good, but it's fun.
Hey, I'll take that.
Yeah. So, James, yeah, speaking how was of your beers.
Willikers, or whatever it's called.
Worthington's White Shield.
My G. Willikers.
The official beer of defending white women and children from invading foreign hordes. It's fine. It's, you know, there's nothing too much to say about it. It's fairly drinkable, fades into the background a bit. Good background beer in that way. Doesn't do too much wrong, doesn't do anything particularly outstanding. 6.5.
Oh, we're 2 inches shorter than yourself, which is good.
six-month-old torpedo? No, not 6 months old. 6 months out of date. Much older.
6 months out of date. Like, you're just about, like, so that's like a year and 6 months not fresh. Like, the nut was telling us you need to get this stuff, like, when it's new to get anything good out of it. But I already can taste a limited amount because my nose still isn't working properly. And this is very out of date. So, I mean, I can't give this a score. I mean, it warmed my blood. I'm feeling a little tipsy because it's 7.2%. But so obviously it gets 10 for that because it doesn't taste like very much and it gets me a little bit drunk. So actually 10. Yeah, 10.
10. Fantastic. Drink
old torpedo and get COVID, drink an old torpedo. That's what I'm saying. And unlike me, don't either get vaccinated first or also don't isolate when you do get COVID. Like, do spread it around.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring.
Exactly.
And don't tell the government about your antigen test coming up positive.
Spread.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring. It's like the chicken pox. Don't tell the government about your antigen. Don't give Leo Varadkar any more of your money. You know what I mean? Dine or fair pasties or something. You know? That's something he'd buy. God bless him. Anyway.
All right.
There's only one thing to cheers to.
To Kid Rock.
What was your party, baby?
What was your boogie? Up jump the boogie. Bow with the bow. I'm gonna listen to them. I'm gonna listen to that song right fucking
now. Such a fucking banger.
And cut!
Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.